Good morning. This is Sunday, June 1st, and we are continuing our study of the book Consciousness Transformed, the 1963-64 Hawaii Hotel Talks by Joel Goldsmith. And we are on August 24th, 1963, the chapter Hidden Manna, the Real Infinite Way. And if you didn't know that there was a real infinite way, you will know that, and hopefully what it is, by the end of this study today. Joel felt that this was a really important chapter. I can still hear him on one of his tapes saying, "I myself can hardly believe the message that came through." And so I would suggest that you stop thinking about what you need to do later today and stop thinking about the relatives you saw this morning at church or the errands that you have to do on Monday morning. I would suggest you put all that aside, find that quiet place within yourself, be still for a few minutes, and then come and listen. And Joel starts this by saying, "It's very noticeable that far too many students do not know what makes the infinite way. If our students knew the answer, their progress would be very rapid. But because they do not catch this major point, they struggle for years." So that right there would tell you, if you're listening, that this is a major point that you want to catch. What makes the infinite way? Or why is there an infinite way message? So that you do not have to struggle for years and years. Far too many students do struggle for years and years. And so he continues with, "That which started me on the spiritual path and which ultimately led to the infinite way was the realization that there is no God in the human world. Eventually, it was revealed to me that you cannot reach God through the mind. That is why prayers as such are worthless." So remember, he's speaking, remember what audience he's speaking to. He's speaking to a small group that flew over to Hawaii to hear these talks. He has canceled all travel this part of this year. He is undergoing an inner initiation. He's lifting the message from metaphysics to its true intent, which is mysticism. And he's speaking only to a handful of students who are advanced, so that he's able to say without scaring them, "That which started me on the spiritual path and led to the infinite way is the realization that there is no God in the human world, and you cannot reach God through the mind. Prayers like that are worthless." So in one fell swoop, he removes everything upon which religion has relied for thousands of years. But he still doesn't tell us what the real infinite way is. On the next page he says, "The only thing that can make a religion a real religion is something that brings the actual presence and power of God into concrete manifestation. The infinite way is an experience, or is just such an experience." So the infinite way is something that brings the actual presence and power of God into concrete manifestation. So what is that? Is that the real infinite way? Have we found it yet? No, we haven't found it yet. We know what it does, but we don't know what it is. says Joel, you have not reached the goal of the infinite way until you have the actual realized presence of God or activity of the Christ. Your treatment is not going to help anyone until you receive a response from within. And if you haven't seen it yet, surely you must see it by now, all of you listening to this series of talks, that he is harping over and over again that you must go beyond the mind. You must have an inner experience, a transformation. Something must be imparted to you from within, from the depths of within. And it cannot be another mental statement of truth. He's trying to lift us higher, all of us that are ready. No human being either knows or receives the things of God. Therefore, there can be no healing until the presence announces itself. Then you can sit back as a beholder and watch. When you reach this place, you are then functioning in the infinite way. So when you reach the place where you know 100% of your being that no human and no human mind knows or can receive something from God, therefore you will know that truly I of myself can do nothing. And so then I can rest back until the presence announces itself and it moves. Then I can sit back as a beholder and watch it manifest. When I reach that state of consciousness in which I am a beholder as consciousness lives itself, then I'm functioning in the infinite way. So there's a clue there, right there, what the real infinite way is. People keep asking, he says, why was this innocent child murdered? Or why was my dog run over when they did nothing wrong? The world does not know the answer to this. But as students, you should know. And so what is the answer to that? There was a book I had on my shelf. Actually, my ex-wife had it. And it was titled, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And somebody put it out. I think it was Norman Vincent Peale. I don't remember. And I never even really read it. But the title is the question here. Why is an innocent child murdered? Why is a dog run over when it did nothing wrong? I had a dog, several years back that ran out in the street here. Couldn't seem to keep it from chasing cars, and finally it caught one, and so it was killed. And so these things come to your mind. Why does this happen? And as students, Joel says, you should know the answer. And so you ask yourself, what is the answer to this? Why do these things happen? Do you know the answer? There is no God in the human world, and anything like this can and will happen until the child or the dog or the business or the profession or anything else is brought into the presence of one who is spiritually endowed, or brought into the presence of one who is the presence. It is the Spirit of God itself. He says, when anything is brought into this presence, then you can trust your child or your dog or your business, because now the grace of God is benefiting them. It is the Spirit of God itself. That's what the presence is. Until this is understood, the infinite way can mean nothing to you except as another teaching or as something nice to read or listen to. And that is not its intent. And so until what is understood? Until it is understood that in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ, in the presence of this deep inner Spirit, when you receive its movement in the presence of that light, no darkness can prevail. When you understand that, then you're beginning to suspect what the real infinite way is. But if you don't have that inner experience yet, then the infinite way can mean nothing to you except as another teaching or something nice to read to or listen to. But the intent of this message is that every student shall reach that place in consciousness where the Spirit of God is upon them, and they can say, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see? Now, he talks about meeting weather with a statement of truth, and even when you do that intellectually, it's a start. And then he changes course and says, actually, you may turn around and get the flu. You see, he says here, if you're faced with the threat of the flu, you may say to yourself, what is that to me, since the Spirit of God is the only power? But that's only intellectual. So he says, actually, you may turn around and get the flu, because intellectual acceptance is not the protection. And so even while you're working with the principles, such as God is the only power, you may be saying that to yourself, you may be reading it, maybe listening to some of Joel's fine talks on it, and get a really severe case of the flu while you're trying to practice these principles. Why? Why? That brings you back over here to the other page. Why was my dog run over? See? Until this is understood, the infinite way can mean nothing to you except another teaching or something nice to read or listen to. So you might be listening to talks and reading about one power and even thinking about it quite a bit and trying to get peaceful inside, and suffer from these things. Why? Because something more is needed, isn't it? You can be trying to practice this intellectually and be struck down with it. It doesn't work. However, he says, if you persist in working with the principles of one power, eventually it will leave the mind and go down into the heart. Now, what that means, that one sentence means, is that eventually, if only on accident, you will reach the end to all of your mental gyrations and perhaps get so frustrated and tired that you'll just be exhausted and give up. And at that point, you'll stop knowing anything with the mind. And you'll feel a movement of something, and it'll startle you. What was that? That was something new. Yes, it's finally left the mind and gone down into the heart. You've stopped using the mind to know God aright, and momentarily you used your soul. And it is in the soul that you receive the Spirit. So you work with these principles, and eventually you do perceive that this is a spiritual universe. When you stop the attempt to get material supply, it comes to you just by knowing that God is its source and God is spirit. And so he's talking about another time you may be working on the principle that this is a spiritual universe. And eventually that will leave the mind. But all the students gathered together here to hear these talks, to have his message given to them here in Hawaii in 1963. They were ready. They were ready. And probably most of them, if not all of them, were already going beyond the mind. And so they were able to hear this, and it reinforced what they were experiencing. And he says, as you take one principle after another and lose your fear or hate or love of the outer, you can settle in meditation and find yourself in a deep pool of contentment. And then the spirit moves and imparts itself to you. It may be in words, in a deep breath, or in a feeling, but when it does, God is on the scene. This is the function of the Infinite Way, to bring you to the place where you live by God, by the presence of God, not by statements of truth. And then you are living by grace. And so you see, Joel had his first experiences because he realized it was the beginning of World War I, and he looked out at the world, perhaps in a contemplative state of mind, and he realized, how could this be happening? There's churches on every corner, and yet man's on the brink of world war. There are going to be thousands of people dying. How could this happen with churches on every corner? And he went deeply into meditation. I'm sure it bothered him for weeks and months, and maybe even a couple of years. Finally, he had an inner experience that showed him this can happen because God is not on earth anywhere. That's kind of unsettling, isn't it? But that's not the complete statement either. God is not on earth until or except where God is realized. And so he learned from that inner experience that God was on earth where he stood. He learned that the place whereon I stand is holy ground. Not because it was said a few thousand years ago or because it's pretty and poetic, but because God is here as an experience. I just experienced him this morning. You remember Joel's first experience was like a nanosecond? They didn't have those words back then, but he said it was less than a second. And then it took another week, and then it happened again, remember? In the beginning he wasn't even sure, but by the fruits he knew. Because in his experience, and those that turned to him, when he was able to touch this inner presence and open the door and feel its movement, then for all those that touched that, or were near, or came into that, the presence of that, evil dissolved, the darkness dissolved. So he began to see through his own experience, my God, yes, these evils can happen anywhere, at any time. You can be in church and suffer a severe heart attack and die. You can be in church and have it blown up, or in a temple or a mosque, by your enemies. So what is the answer? Well, he said, as students of the Infinite Way, we should know. The answer is there's no God in the human scene until the presence is released. There's no God until God is released. Then, when God is released, we're living by grace. But it must be a real inner it must be the real God released and not just statements of truth that I've memorized that remind me about God. Well, over on the next page, he shifts gears for a minute and he says, there is no future heaven. This moment is the only heaven there is. You see how many misperceptions we have and how many wrong ideas we have that we've been taught? How many millions and millions, maybe even billions, are looking for the kingdom of heaven tomorrow? When I die, I'll go through a tunnel and I'll pop out on the other side and be in the kingdom of heaven. Or if I'm really good, I'll go to heaven. Or if I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'll go to heaven. Or if I use my prayer wheel and remember Buddha, I'll go to heaven. Or if I am in battle with an infidel and I'm killed in that battle, protecting the Holy Land, I will immediately go to heaven. You see, all of that's a tomorrow heaven, isn't it? But he states clearly right here, for those who have ears to hear, there is no future heaven. This moment is the only heaven there is. And so I submit to you, the only heaven there is the heaven you release, which becomes your living experience. You are in charge of your heaven, and it's here and now. So, bringing us back to the topic, he says, never ask this question, why am I in trouble, or why did this happen to this innocent child? You know the answer. There was no God in that picture, or it would not have happened. Paul described it, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Or, from the Master, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. This is the man of earth, but the man who has his being in Christ toils not, neither does he spin. Yet none are arrayed as beautifully in all the world's goods. You see? This is beautiful. This is what makes Christ Jesus' message so unique. Because he gave to the world this doorway. I am the door in which we could open our consciousness and receive him. Receive the Christ of him, which is the Christ of him and her and it, which is the Christ of I. Says Joel, if you witness Infinite Way students going on year in and year out and not receiving fruitage or grace, you can know that they are just reading with the mind and remaining there, and that is not reaching God. And so I see and have seen over the years and have been one of the people who studied with the mind and remained there. And I certainly see now many people who write me and have problems, and we have a meditation for that, and it's met or dissolved, and the next week there's another problem, and next week there's another, and next week there's another, and next week there's another, and on and on and on it goes. And I have to ask myself, why? And I have to answer myself, because they're looking to you instead of looking within. And so I feel sometimes if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And sometimes I'm torn and I have to ask God whether it's time to cut them loose or continue to work with them. So, Joel says, through the books and the tapes, we present truth. And if you can take one statement of truth and demonstrate it, then the books and the tapes would have fulfilled their purpose. He's trying to bring us all to that place where we can, like him, receive impartations from within. He's trying to lift us above the human mind, which cannot receive God. He's trying to help us attain the presence of the living God, which comes as a thief in the night within. So he says, we started out today by a reminder that there is no God in the human scene, and there is no way to reach God with the mind. Harmony begins to come into your experience only as you attain the actual realized presence of God or Spirit of God. In many metaphysical approaches, you hear it said that evil is not power, or there is no evil, or error is not real. But in the infinite way, you must get out of that habit, because it is a habit which leaves you in the very error which you have been denying. There is error. There is evil. And that is why there is the search for God. So, yes, I know it's so difficult. This is such a slippery thing. You can't, it's not something you can grab a hold. You can't take heaven by force. And so, it's really a slippery thing and hard to get a grip on. It's again what Don said to me, you have to stand up and sit down at the same time. It's what William Shakespeare said, to be or not to be, that's the question. It's just something that you have to wrestle with inside of yourself until you have overcome the mind. And yet you're still able to think and balance your checkbook and drive a car and pass a test. But in the infinite way, you must get out of that habit, the habit of saying, well, there is no evil, there is no error, only God is real. Because as we said in the beginning, you can repeat that to yourself and have somebody lift your pocketbook while you're looking the other way. Yes, there is error in this world and in your experience. Until you learn how to turn from this world, turn from the creator of this world, which is the mind, the world mind, which parades or hides as the human mind. When you can turn from that mind, go deep within, and receive an impartation from the living spirit, then the evils drop away. So he says, the true statement should be, temporal power is not power in the presence of the Christ or Spirit. And I wrote over here in the margin, realized in the heart or soul. So the true statement should be, temporal power is not power in the presence of Christ, realized in the heart or in the soul. Then I noticed he said the same thing in the next sentence. Evil or error of any nature is not power in the presence of the realized presence of God. So you see the difference? You see the difference? Alright, so yes, he says, there will be evil, but not in the presence of the realized presence of God. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Temporal power is not power when it is brought into contact with the Spirit of God. This is amazing. This is just so wonderful. When you have the secret, well, you have the hidden manna. And I wrote over here, temporal power is not power when it is brought into contact with an impartation from God within. Not when it is brought into contact with a thought about God or a thought or a statement of truth, but when it is brought into contact with an impartation. And so we must actually get out of the way and allow these impartations to flow. And then when the temporal power hits up against an impartation, it is dissolved. The light dissolves the darkness. He says, whatever temporal power is tempting you, you must bring the actual presence of God into the situation. Whether you are so close to it that blinking your eyes does it, or whether you are so far away that you have to sit for days and nights until the Spirit breaks through. If you are expecting any help until this happens, you're mistaken. Nothing happens to the error that comes into your experience until you have attained the realization of the presence of God. Then temporal power is dissolved, as darkness is dissolved in the presence of light. And that's a very valid and very wonderful point there. Sometimes, if you have been having these little meditations throughout the day and night, you're so in tune, so much feeling that presence within, that all you have to do is close your eyes and blink for a minute. Maybe only one word comes to you, Father or Spirit or I am the way. That's more than one word, isn't it? But I is one word. So, sometimes you're able to blink and the Spirit floods you. You can feel it. There's nothing else to say or do or think. You just stand still. And in the stillness, you're a beholder watching. And it's met. But other times, perhaps you've had a business meeting at work, and there's been a lot of high-powered type A personalities that are trying to push over their ways, and there's been some arguing and bickering and maybe even backstabbing, and all of that's, you've carried that home with you, and it's a little bit hard to sit down and meditate, and it takes you, you have to sit for days and nights until the Spirit breaks through, and that happens too. I have a hard time when someone attacks my wife. I don't mean physically, I mean verbally, or they try to bring her down or make her look bad. And I know that's just a human thing, and that has no place in the kingdom, but I still suffer from it. And so when that happens, I know I have to sit down and meet it with the presence, and I don't want to. There's a part of me that wants to go get even. You know, what did you say to my wife? You don't do that, you know. But I can't. That's picking up the sword. I don't want to die by the sword. So I have to sit myself down in my chair and say, okay, all right. So this is one of those temporal powers appearing, and I'm going to have to get out of the way. And Father, you flow. And then I feel nothing, and it's frustrating sometimes. I have to get up, go have a cup of coffee, come back, or run an errand, come back. But if I will persist, I have been in this long enough now that eventually, as he says, it may take a little while, but it will come back. And again, I'll be flooded, and then I know it's met. Sometimes this is not an easy way to live. Sometimes it takes work, but other times it's beautiful. You're able to blink. I love it the way he says it in the Kalua Study Series. It's like water rolling off your back in the shower. Yes, sometimes it's like that. And eventually, the day will come when error will flee as you approach it. You won't have to do anything because you yourself will be that light. Okay, getting back to this, he says, this should give you such an understanding of the nature of the message of the infinite way that you will not rest or rely on any of its statements. You must actually experience God. Then that invisible something goes before you to make the crooked places straight. On the next page, he says, truth has been revealing itself through me all these years, yet it would be a horrible thing to say the infinite way is the truth. So he's saying right there, the infinite way is not the truth. Truth must continue revealing itself 100 years from now, but not in the same truth that is in the Bible or in Christian Science or in the infinite way. And so while there is truth, while the infinite way is truth revealed to a certain extent, in the years to come there will be truth that's revealed that is not the same as in the infinite way. And so truth is infinite. He says, be careful not to depend on yesterday's manna. Go within for the inspiration of the moment. For this moment's manna, and then the Spirit of God does the work. A statement of truth is not God. A statement of truth is the reminder that sends you back inside for further impartations. And so the key here is these, what he calls impartations. This is what he's trying to lead us all to that place where we receive impartations, where we're done with statements of truth and done with reading and listening and thinking and planning and practicing, and where we're able to reach a place beyond words and thoughts, a place of stillness and silence, a place of grace. You, he says, must constantly know that you have this hidden manna. Go within, even if nothing comes, the contact is being made. Go within for the flow, and then go about your business. And whatever your need is, the solution will appear in its own way. Now, sometimes the solution is quite miraculous, as in the case of when nobody would operate on my wife because we didn't have insurance at the time. And the cyst that she had on her ovary was the size of a tennis ball. And I contacted Herb Fitch, and he said, let's work on this together. And we did. And over the next 3 days, I saw it dissolve in front of my eyes. And it's never returned. Oh gosh, that's been 24 years ago now, 25 maybe, coming up on 25. It's never returned. So sometimes things are miraculously dissolved. Other times, there are things that happen that seem to be, well, the solution appears to happen in a very normal human way. For instance, there was a time when I was not working and I didn't have a job. And I turned to the Father and recognized that my supply did not come from a job, but my supply appears as a job. You see, the job is not my supply. The supply is the job. It flows the other way. And once I realized that, I was going somewhere, and I was in Los Angeles, and I sat on a bus bench, and there was this guy I had seen. I didn't know his name or anything. He said his name was John. I said, my name's Bill, and he asked me how I was doing. I said, well, I'm currently unemployed, but I'm looking for work. He said, why don't you come up where I'm at work and fill out an application? And I said, okay, I don't have any experience in that field, but I'll do it. And I went up there and I filled out an application, and I had an interview with the plant manager, and I went to work building digital magnetic tape drives. And I worked there for 3 years and did a great job. They liked me and I liked them. And I left for promotion with another company where I was managing supervising a whole assembly department. So, sometimes it appears to happen in a very normal way, human way, like meeting John on that bus bench. Now, some would say that was a coincidence. I know better. I know that once the invisible was touched, that light appeared. And it appeared in this case as the new opportunity to go into a whole new field. It appeared as John, and that was the door opening to this opportunity. That's how that supply, that's how that presence at that time appeared. But later, several years later, it appeared with my wife, this touching this presence appeared as a disharmony, a physical inharmony disappearing and dissolving, literally dissolving. So, whatever your need is, the solution will appear in its own way. You cannot avoid making a mistake, but even if you do, this inner manna corrects it. I like that, and that's very helpful, because we make mistakes, and it's nice to know that if we're touching this, that the mistakes will also be corrected, and corrected in time. Joel says, it is really very sad if an infinite way student does not catch this point, that there is an inner grace. Now, one more experience. I was in Houston. I had reached a transition in my inner life and my outer life, and it was showing up as a trip from Florida to California across the United States, and I was driving by myself alone, and I had just enough money to get there. I didn't have any money for anything else. And I made it all the way to Houston, and the check engine light came on, and the car died in the middle of a six-lane highway. And it was, the sun was beginning to set, it was early evening, and soon to be dark. The car died, it just died. The engine shut off, and I coasted over to the side. There were some barrels, they were doing some construction in Houston, and I parked behind the barrels and sat there, and the rain was coming down, and it was July 4th. So there was going to be fireworks, and nothing was open. And I didn't have a cell phone. It wasn't like, because it was a few years back, it wasn't like I could just pick up the cell phone and call AAA or Allstate or something to come rescue me. I wasn't a member of any of that. No, I sat there and the rain was coming down and big 16 or 18 wheelers were going by, and Houston's very busy on the 4th of July weekend. And I sat there and I wasn't sure what to do. I tried the key a couple times and it just chugged and chugged and wouldn't turn over. I wouldn't catch. And so finally I realized what I was doing, recognized and remembered God. So I turned it off and I sat back and I closed my eyes right in the middle of the highway there. And I got quiet and I did nothing. I waited upon the Lord. And suddenly there was a feeling of the presence. What I call feeling of the presence. See, as he said in here before, it may come as this, it may come as that. It could be the still small voice, it could be a feeling of peace, but there's always a feeling of release that goes with it, a sort of a, okay, that's right, I let go. And so the feeling of the presence came, and I tried the key, one, two, three, and boom, it turned over. And I backed up and I hit the gas and got in the back on the highway, and I drove over to all the way to Arizona where I got a room, and I think I had $80 left the next morning, had breakfast, filled the tank, and drove the rest of the way all the way to Los Angeles. And eventually when I took the car in, the mechanic in California there said, the master chip or the brain of the car was gone, fried. There's no way it should have worked. But you and I know what happened. In the presence of this presence, error is dissolved, no matter what it is. And sometimes it appears to be in a very normal, natural human way. Sometimes it appears to be a miracle. Okay? Now, he says, nobody in the world has ever been born without this hidden manna. Nobody. Because God incorporated itself in man as man. That is true, and I wrote over here, but it must be realized, felt, and experienced. Now, this brings to thought, when I was reading it, that what about people like Ted Bundy and Adolf Hitler and Genghis Khan? Yes, they too must have God incorporated, because they're alive, and God is life. But we know that these type people are living in their minds, suffering from obsessions, really following the world mind, and have not made the contact. Now, down here he says, can you not see the sin of having anyone set up as a savior, whether it is Buddha or Jesus or anyone else? Can you not see the sin of believing that any one of us is different from another? If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Now, he says, while it's true that you have to go within and find it for yourself and not rely on a person out there, there should be no hesitancy in turning to each other for help sometimes. He says, I have no hesitancy whatsoever to do this when I need it and I receive the help. So, he just wants you to know there's nothing wrong with asking for help. But, as I said earlier, do not ask for help every 3 days and rely on your spiritual teacher or practitioner or friend and start thinking of them as a bank or thinking of them as a doctor or thinking of them as a psychologist or thinking of them as a something you can continuously turn to. You've got to grow up. That's a little bit immature. You got to grow up and start turning within and make your own contact. But it's okay if occasionally you have a problem, you need to reach out because you're in that place we talked about earlier where it's taking you quite a bit longer to make this contact because perhaps you've been caught up in the world. And so it's okay to reach out for a little help so that you can make contact, but not just put everything on the person that you're reaching to so that you can go on about your business having a good time and they'll make the contact. That's not right. No. Get help to be lifted up so that you can make the contact. So he says, the students who have been with us here all year know that this has been a difficult year for me, in which I have been going through a period of inner initiation, waiting for a message. This was in 1963, again, 10 months before he made his transition into the invisible. He says, during the last 2 or 3 weeks, it all came to a head, and then it became clear that we are entering the consciousness that does not need words or thoughts. And those of you who have entered deeply into the study of the 1963-64 Hawaii Hotel Talks, or Consciousness Transformed, are also going through this transformation. You are learning to enter a very sacred, holy place. It is the consciousness that does not need words or thoughts. We can sit down to meditate and realize the kingdom of God is closer than breathing. I just have to tune in and listen. I need no words, and I need no thoughts. I need only receptivity. And when the word of God comes, the earth of error melts. This is the consciousness we must walk in. In the infinite way, our dependency is on a hidden manna, a meat the world knows not of, a presence you cannot define. All right, so when you have that, when you make your contact, he says, then forever after you can say, I live yet not I, Christ liveth in me. But you must go within 20 to 30 times a day. In other words, you must get back inside where you acknowledge, I have a hidden manna, and then let it out. Well, great. So in the Kailua study series, we thought it was really difficult to go within 12 times a day. Now he says you must go within 20 to 30 times a day. So we're going within over double that. Why? Because in the world you will have mesmerism, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have a hidden manna. And so you make this contact without words, without thoughts. There's a movement, and you let it out. It will not be long until someone will say to you, what is it that you have? And you must remember to give milk to the babes. Joel says, I can be very patient because I know that human wisdom cannot be replaced by spiritual discernment until onion skin after onion skin has been peeled away and they become transparencies. I can be patient with them until they have reached that place where self-preservation is no longer the first law and the first need. I know it takes patience on my part, and I always hope they will have the courage to persist. Now, some of these students have been with him since 1947, when he first began to give milk. Now he's brought them up through the principles, showing them very patiently over the years that they too can go beyond words and thoughts, that there's another way other than just knowing these things intellectually. And so 63 minus 47, some of his students has been with him for 16 years before he could give them this meat. And notice, too, up here in this paragraph we just read, he says, human wisdom cannot be replaced by spiritual discernment until onion skin after onion skin has been peeled away and they become transparencies. This is a fancy way of saying human wisdom or intellectual understanding of these principles cannot be replaced by spiritual discernment or this spiritual presence until you become a transparency for it. He says, miracles do happen, some far greater than you would believe if you heard of them. They are not due to a miracle man. Not even Jesus could perform miracles unless he was approached with receptivity. No practitioner can ever guarantee the measure of your healing or how long it will take, because it depends on your receptivity. There are those who cannot do anything but seek loaves and fishes, and this sets up a barrier. The higher the teacher goes in spiritual realization, the greater will be the works, but only in the presence of receptivity. All right, so if you seek the fishes and the loaves, if you seek supply, send me some money, I have to pay my rent. Please send me a companion, I'm lonely. Please fix this sore ankle. If you're seeking those effects, then it's going to take longer because you don't have receptivity yet. Why? Because those are the onion skins that have to be peeled away. When you become a transparency, an empty vessel, then spirit can fill that vessel. And then spirit does move, flow through, and you feel it. You are receptive, and spirit flows, and what happens? Yes, the darkness dissolves. Now, down here he talks about you have to think of others and not just your family. You cannot live in family selfishness and still believe you are living spiritually. Yes, I see that quite a bit too. Somehow people believe that they can hang on to my family and somehow walk the spiritual path, and they can't. They can't. You reach a stage of transition where you know we are all one in Christ. And Christ is one in us. And there's no difference in the person across the street or across the river or across the world. No difference in them and those living in your physical house or apartment or structure. The only difference is that, yes, you have been with these longer and a little closer to them. But the day must come where, if you're living in this consciousness, you feel the same as Christ Jesus. Who is my mother? Who is my father? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Those that do the will of my Father. All right. Says Joel, we have arrived at a place in our work now where if any of you are satisfied with anything less than the experience of God, you are satisfied with too little. Nothing should satisfy you but the God experience itself. And you can accomplish that by turning within. It will come. And when it comes, it must be renewed. Because of the hypnotism of the world, it must be renewed. All right, so the name of that chapter is Hidden Manna, the Real Infinite Way. And so I ask you, all you students, do you now know what is the real infinite way? Let's look at what it is not. The Infinite Way is not an organization in Arizona or in California. The Infinite Way is not a series of 37 books, which all have the same scripture, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, in the front of the books. No, that's not the Infinite Way. The Infinite Way is not a series or a set of principles that you can take with the mind and understand and practice and something wonderful will happen. The Infinite Way is not a technique of meditation. The Infinite Way is not a man that lived 50 years ago and traveled all around the world talking about the Infinite Way. What then is the Infinite Way? What is the Infinite Way? Well, he gives you a clue. Hidden manna. And so we know what the Infinite Way is not, but do we know what the real Infinite Way is? I will tell you this. In John chapter 17, he discusses the real infinite way. He quotes Jesus, who says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And so here is your hint. This is the real infinite way, and those that know it have received eternal life. So this is life eternal, that you would know the real infinite way, and you find it in your inner temple. So go within and ask, Father, reveal the real infinite way, and reveal it so strongly that I never again will believe it's something out here. Go within, find the real infinite way, see what it is, and you will have found your own life eternal. And that is your instruction for this week. Go within and find the real infinite way. And once you know it, well, then you will walk in that quiet place without words and thoughts, and you will behold the real infinite way.